Okay. Hello, remnant. Nice. There you go. Good morning, Lifehouse Church. It is good to see you guys. You know, I was thinking while we were worshiping, I was thinking, you know, Jesus, he had this well planned out. He said he picked 12 disciples to be with him, and that's to make small churches feel good about, you know, 12 people. And then there was 120 people in the upper room to make those mid-sized churches feel good about being mid-sized. And then there was, you know, the first day of Acts, of Pentecost, where thousands were getting saved, 3,000 added in one day, and that's where the mega churches can feel like they belong. So he covered all the bases, is what I'm saying. But welcome to Lifehouse Church. Welcome to the fall season of 2019. The year's almost over. For some strange reason, I'm looking forward to 2020. I'm thinking something exciting will happen. I don't know. But anyway, I'm looking forward to that year. And welcome to 50 Ways to Share the Gospel. Now, of course, I'm not going to actually share 50 ways. That's kind of more like hyperbole. But even if I did, I'm not so sure it would make much of a difference. Because this topic will never get into our heads until it gets into our hearts. That's really where sharing the gospel starts. I mean, listen, guys. Listen to this. 151,600 people die every day. 151,600 people. That's a lot of people. And many of them, scriptures could even indicate most of them, will fall into a Christless eternity, which is a euphemism for saying hell. Most of that 151,000 plus will go to hell. I mean, does the sheer volume of human death bother you? Does it bother you even more that they're dying and going to a place of eternal suffering without Christ, without hope? Forever they will be there. You know, Jesus pleaded with us. He pleaded saying, enter through the narrow gate. I wish the scriptures would come, you know, with an audio so we could actually hear Jesus' tone of voice. We can feel the pain in his heart, the pleading. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Guys, the plight of the human condition, of the human destiny, weighed heavy on Jesus' heart. Why he came to earth in the first place. Jesus didn't come to earth for vacation. Yeah, he wasn't here for that. I mean, one of the most famous verses of them all, John 3:16, tells us, for God so loved the world. It wasn't just the trees and the bees and the, you know, all that. He loved you and me. He loved people, the 161,500 people that die today, while we're here, this day, 151,000 plus will die. Jesus loved them so much that he stepped out of heaven. He came to earth that they might not have to suffer, but have eternal life. Even Jesus himself said, for the Son of Man came not to go on vacation, but to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he came. People's souls are what is on Jesus' heart. People's souls, your soul, is on Jesus' heart. So let me ask you this question. Do you have Jesus in your heart? Raise your hand if you believe I got Jesus in me. Okay, well, if people are on Jesus' heart and Jesus is in your heart, then you should have people on your heart. You know, I kind of think it was that line of logic that prompted Charles Spurgeon to say, have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you are not saved yourself. Be sure of that. Wow. Not sure how that would stand up to theological scrutiny, but the heartbeat is valid. If you really don't care about people, then you got to wonder, is Jesus really in your life? Because he sure did, to the point of death. I'm convinced that the number one conviction, the number one truth or value that you must have, that you need to have, before you'll even attempt one of these 50 ways to share the gospel, before you'll even attempt it, is that you have got to be burdened by people's souls. The condition of people's lives needs to bother you. When that happens, then you'll have sufficient motivation to practice a few of these ways to share the gospel. Until we genuinely care. Until we genuinely care about people's lives and the damnation of their souls as a real thing. Not just a church thing, a theological thing, a Bible thing. It's a real thing. Until we really genuinely care, we will not take the risk. We will not take the risk. You will not learn the methods. You will not attempt it. You just won't love people by sharing the gospel with them until you are burdened and bothered about people's souls. So, we're going to devote the next 10 minutes or so to writing down the names of the top five. What you have sitting on the chairs there in front of you, you can grab one of those things, pull out that sheet with the saved, lost cross diagram. And there's two lists there of your top five. Under the word saved, you will see, you'll have a place to write down the top five Christians that you know that you want to help become a fully devoted follower of Christ. You want to help them have on their heart what is on Jesus' heart. Five Christians. You can start writing them down now if they're coming to mind. I'm going to read to you Mark chapter 8, a verse in Mark 8. Listen to this. Then, calling the crowd to join his disciples, Jesus said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, literally that the word was the gospel, Then you're going to save it. Then you'll save it. Then you'll find out what you were made for, what you're here for. If there are five Christians that you know of that you want to help them embrace this call from Jesus Christ to be a follower, to reject selfish ways, and to pick up the cross and to take the good news to the lost, you write those five names down. Even if one of those names is yourself. That's under the saved column. Under the lost column, you write down the top five people you'd like to see get saved. Bible language, that's a Bible word for come to faith in Jesus Christ. So literally, so powerfully that Christ comes into them, rescues them from all their sin, paid for their sin at the cross. They are heaven bound. The word the Bible uses is saved, or the word born again. Five people you'd like to see get saved, get rescued from their sin. You write them down. The Apostle Paul wrote, since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ were making his appeal. Through us, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So you write down the names of five people you would like to see get reconciled to God. Do that now. I'll give you a minute. You have no pens. That's a deal breaker. Who needs a pen? Pass it around when you're done. Because you can continue to fill this out even after the minute is up. Like, well, no, you can still fill it out. Write down the first names that come to mind, guys. Family members. They're supposed to be the ones you love the most. Family members. Relatives. Close friends. Work associates. That you know of from work. Write those down. Housemates, gamer friends, people that you know of online, gamer friends. I mean, when you start thinking about it, we know lots of people. We know lots of people, most of which need Jesus. They need him bad. So you write down five names under each column. You don't have five, don't. At least you wrote down something. Okay, our minute is up. Now for the real work. The real work of sharing the gospel, not so much the words, it's the prayers. It's praying for people. That's the real work. And we're going to do that first. Before we start getting through some specific little tricks and triggers, it's praying time. Okay. Paul said, the Apostle Paul, he said, pray for me. Pray for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. We oftentimes think of Paul is the dread champion, man. That guy was afraid of nothing. He was asking the Ephesian church to pray that he would share the gospel boldly, fearlessly. Maybe you might think, I could use some of that praying for myself. Your opportunity is coming shortly. Jesus said, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. At this point, when Jesus is praying this, he's praying for the lost. He's actually praying for you and me. For the time when before we were lost,
You know, we were lost before we were found. We were lost before we get saved. Jesus was praying for us. It is now our turn to pray for those who have yet to believe in Christ through their message, through the message of the gospel. So we're going to do this, praying for yourself, praying for those other Christians, praying for the lost. What you're going to do is you're going to put your head next to someone and pray for some of the people on that list. Yourself can be included. Praying for your own heart, your own life. So put your head next to somebody, pray for that list. You're going to pray for your heart, pray for your witness, and each person will have 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Make the most of it. And then the other person will pray, and I will make that known when the 2 minutes is up. All right? So find someone and pray. God, that you heard every single prayer. I mean, if we were trying to listen in, we just heard a bunch of jumbled mumbling. And even if we did hear it, we probably won't even remember. Won't even remember. By the time we exit this building, you will remember. You are a perfect being. You can remember what we forget. Lord, you know who is on our hearts. You know that even the people that we didn't remember to mention in prayer, you know, God, and you care. We know this to be true, not just because, I found it in some dusty old manuscript. No, it's written on the cross. It's stained in blood how much you care. And you heard our prayers, and you want to answer these prayers in our lifetime. I pray we wouldn't get in your way. I pray we would submit and humble ourselves before you, before your mighty hand, and allow you to work on us, to work in us, to work through us, to save this lost, dying, hurting world that's looking for a reason to live in anything and everything except Jesus. And it's coming up empty. It's coming up empty, and so they're giving up. Or they just go for more and more and more. Or they give in to the impulses of their baser instincts, and we get mass shootings, and we get all sorts of ugliness. Because people are trying to find hope in this world, in the transient things of this life. And they were made for heaven. They were made to be in relationship with Jesus. I think they've got it figured out. They've got a better way, and it's not better until they get to the end of the road that they realize it's a dead end. So God, hear our prayers, answer our prayers. God, use us to be your mouthpiece, to share your gospel, your good news to this world that's perishing. And bless the rest of our time together now in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, that's the real work. That's the real work of sharing the gospel. These 50 ways are not the real work. It's praying. And if you and I every morning of every day would devote and commit at least a minute to praying for people who need Christ, I will consider this morning a success. You can say, I'm going to go to sleep now and I won't be offended if in exchange you will commit to praying for lost people in your life for at least a minute every day. New habit, new habit in my life. I'm going to start praying for lost people. And that little sheet, that little diagram, that lost saved diagram, it can be right there in your Bible. You can tape it. I know, sacrilegious. But you can tape it to the inside cover. You can tape it to the outside cover. Wherever. To get it in front of your face to remind you, I need to be praying for these people, lost and saved. They need God's help. Pray for them. Not a cop out. It will get into your heart. It'll get into your mind. And God will use you as an answer to those prayers if you don't stop praying. That's the first thing. Big thing. Biggest thing. But having prayed your eyes out, it's still difficult to get into the gospel. It's scary. Sometimes it's just downright awkward to get into the gospel. And so, how do you do it? How do you go from talking about the weather to talking about the Savior? How do you do that? Well, let's look at how the Master Gospel Sharer did it. Who's the Master Gospel Sharer? Jesus, he's the Master. And there's recorded for us one of the times that he's smooth. Man, he's smooth. went from a simple conversation that would go nowhere fast with most of us, and Jesus takes it right into the gospel. Does anybody know what situation I'm talking about? We're talking about the woman at the well. John chapter 4, crack open your Bible to John chapter 4. We're going to read this event, verses 6 through 26. So Jesus and his disciples are passing through Samaria, hostile territory. If you're in Des Moines, it'd be the east side of town. The bad riffraff are living there. It's people that make you feel uncomfortable because you don't believe what they believe, or you don't like what they're doing, or somehow they feel you feel threatened, or you just don't like them. That's the kind of people the Samaritans were to the Jews. They're passing through that territory. I'm sure they wanted to get through there fast. Well, not so fast. This is what happens, verse 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" You know, that's a simple request. You're thirsty, you ask for a drink. His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Yeah. Okay. You just read it. Jesus took an everyday common need, water, drinking water, getting a drink of water, and he turns that into a conversation about spiritual things. This living water, eternal life. I mean, that's good. How do you do that, you know? It's very amazing that Jesus, you know, of course he's Jesus, and he is completely locked in to spiritual things. It's on his mind. He's thinking about it. And so he's thinking in those terms all the time. So this common exchange about water brings to his mind living water, eternal life kind of water. Now, how can you and I do something like that? Well, one, we've got to have spiritual things on our minds. You kind of wonder, well, Bob and Tim, they're always on my case about reading the Bible every day. I mean, come on. Let up a bit. By reading the Bible every day, you're getting spiritual things on your mind. You've got to have spiritual things on your mind, or you're not going to bring spiritual things up in the conversations of life. You're just not. You got to pray, and you got to read the Bible. You thought, come on, give me something new. If you're not doing it, that's something new. You got to have on your heart what's on God's heart. You're not going to know what's on God's heart till you get into the book. You get into the book, it's his love letter to you. You'll have on your heart what's on God's heart. Jesus had spiritual things on his heart, but there's something additional. I don't know if you're going to keep a count. You know, we could be on the third item here. But Jesus was also friendly here. He was friendly, even though she's like, where do you get off on asking me for a drink of water? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Find someone of your own kind. He did not get all offensive. He's like, you don't talk to me like that, woman. You know, you beg for forgiveness right now. No. He did not retaliate with her reaction. He didn't. He maintained a friendly composure, and he was relaxed. Guys, I'm thinking that when it comes to actually practical methods of sharing the gospel, being friendly and being relaxed are at the top of the list. Because if you get all tense, if you get all tongue-tied, if you get all worried, God can still use you, but it's going to be difficult. He's going to have to work through some things. Just relax. God's got this. He's got this. Trust him. Sometimes that's hard to do if you've not been reading the book. So you got to start again from reading the book. In the morning, you'll be reminded, I need to trust the Lord. He's ever present in time of need. He will give me the words that I need when I'm, you know, in a difficult spot. He will do this. The scriptures will encourage you with that. And so, being friendly and relaxed. I think that's a key tip there. Spiritual things on your mind, being friendly, being relaxed. Critical. Avoid those nonverbals that make people uneasy, that make them tense, that make them feel like something's wrong. You know? How do you do that? Smiling actually is one of my methods to help me get relaxed. Because once you start getting into spiritual things, you start feeling the spiritual battle, and all of a sudden you start feeling tense. I smile. I just smile. It relaxes me, and it relaxes them. I just smile. Not a huge, cheesy Cheshire cat smile. You know what I mean. Just smile. It helps you. It helps them. Talk with a natural voice, or maybe even with a little bit of excitement. I mean, you're about to talk about something kind of exciting. So get a little excited in your voice, but don't get all animated. That can be weird. It's like you're trying to sell them something. So natural voice, if anything. Don't fold your arms. Even if you don't mean it, it's going to be taken as a defensive gesture or something. Don't use accusatory words like, you're going to hell, don't you know that? No, You don't have to do that. That's one of the problems with people holding the signs, you know, you're all going to hell and stuff like that. Let them figure that out. And believe me, if you get into a spiritual conversation, they will figure it out. You don't have to be the one to tell them. The Holy Spirit will convict them of sin, righteousness, and coming judgment. It will do that. You don't have to do that. You maintain a friendly composure and you talk with them. You don't have to start going off on them that you're going to hell. They'll figure it out. Okay? And so Jesus is using these tactics. He's spiritually minded. He's friendly. He's relaxed. And he just turns that corner flawlessly from a need for a drink, which it doesn't appear he ever got, to living water, to eternal life. Let me give you some of these spiritual transitions, these ways to bring up spiritual topics. Transitions, okay? So, you got friendly, you got relaxed. I got another couple that are just competing for being top dog, and that is being alert and being ready. Being alert and being ready. You got to listen to their comments. You've got to pay attention to your surroundings, what's going on around you. You need to be responsive to their comments and the things that are happening. So being alert and being ready is going to be critical in helping you know what to say and when to say it. This is requiring you to be others-oriented, which is very difficult when you're a very selfish person, which is, you know, what our tendency is. We tend to think of ourselves, what am I feeling? What am I thinking? What am I doing? How do I look? What about me, me, me? And if you're like that, well, then you're not going to be paying attention to those clues that are everywhere with what they're saying, what's going on around you, and with their responses. Be alert. Be ready. It will help you know what to say. And so as you're listening to their comments and you're getting into a conversation about whatever, a drink of water, the weather, it doesn't matter. Look for those chances to then use what we have talked about before, reflective listening. This is what will draw them out, this reflective listening. Even in Jesus' interaction, after he mentions this whole thing about living water, she asks a question. And that question begins to have this back and forth dialogue. But he baits her with this question. Well, reflective listening does that. How does it do that? I have that in. It's a tentative plus an emotion and a fact. I have people come into the store all the time saying, wow, I am beat. I have been pulling double shifts all week. You know who I'm talking about. He's always complaining about how much work he's having to do at work. You know, you could say, well, get over it. Well, welcome to the real world, buddy. You know, you could miss your opportunity, but you could also say, wow, it sounds like working so much is wearing you to the bone. Yeah, it sure does. And it will encourage that person to start sharing more. It seems like they're really putting everything on my back, you know. They want me to do everything, you know, stuff like that. When you use that kind of reflective listening, attentive, it sounds like, it appears, so you are saying, with an emotion, exasperated, angry, upset, whatever, with whatever they're angry, upset, or sad about, and you reflect that back to them, it will encourage them to share more. That's what happens here. Jesus doesn't, you know, she responds, what do you do? You know, you're a Jew, why are you asking me? He doesn't like, oh, let me pull out a big rock, I'll stand on a rock. Well, this is what's going on, here's the history of the Jews. He doesn't start going off preaching on her. There's an exchange that happens there. You want an exchange to happen with whomever you're talking about, right? That's called a conversation. You want this because the more they will share about their life and what's going on in their life, the greater the likelihood that they will mention one of the three H's. Have you ever heard of the three H's? Good, because I just came up with it. Yesterday, I hope it was the Holy Spirit, said, Tim, there's three H's that you need to listen for. And I thought, this looks like legit. The three H's. You want to listen for the person that you're talking to mention anything related to health, hopes, or hurts. Whenever they talk about their health, hopes, or hurts, that's going to be your opportunity to turn that corner and start to get into spiritual things. Their health, hopes, and hurts. You know, as I was thinking about this, I thought, wow, currently there's an additional H that deals with these, and that's hurricanes. Hurricane Dorian is on people's minds. People are bringing up the hurricane. They're talking about the Bahamas. They're talking about natural disasters. How could God allow these things to happen? They're talking about climate change. And it's like, well, you know, climate change. I ain't gonna farce. You know, whatever. You know, no, this is an opportunity. They're talking about their health, hurts, or hopes. You know, they're hoping for a better world. They're hurting for the people who have lost everything in the Bahamas. Maybe their friends in Florida or the East Coast. Guys, there's an opportunity there through health, hopes, and hurts to start bringing up spiritual things. Even in politics. Politics just didn't. It didn't end with the election. It's just constantly everywhere. Jeez, please, people, stop. It's cluing you in. Whether they love or hate Trump, whether they're Republican or Democrat, whether they're Antifa fanatic or a patriot, you know, any political issue can be turned into an opportunity to share the gospel by just asking a few well-worded questions, by using a little bit of reflective listening, by asking, maybe you could just say, hey, do you ever think there's ever going to be peace on earth? I mean, that's sometimes, guys, you just need to have a few of your favorite responses memorized in the back of your head. I've had some people tell me, well, that sounds disingenuous. It sounds loving to me that you love these people enough to have something thought through in advance so that you can engage them in a conversation. Do you think there'll ever be peace on earth? You know, when people are talking about politics, the reason they're so animated and emotional is because their hope is in the government to make their lives better. You ever think there's going to be peace on earth? Boom. You got ourselves a spiritual conversation before you even know him. Health, hopes, and hurts. Guys, really, that question, do you think there will ever be peace on earth? That's an example of an open-ended question. That's another tip here. Ask open-ended conversations. Again, you want to get into a conversation, not a monologue. And so open-ended questions where they are sharing about themselves, their thoughts on things, the more you'll be given material or information that you can use to turn the corner into spiritual things. You gotta know what their health, hope, and hurts are before you'll have that chance. So, you know, they're talking about something. Does that bother you? Does that bother you? Why does that bother you? You know, these are simple questions. You're just exploring what they're thinking. People's favorite topic, by the way, in case you don't know, is themselves. What they're doing, what they're thinking, what they're believing, that's everybody's favorite topic. And you're just helping them talk about their favorite topic. So, does that bother you? Why does that bother you? Or have you ever wondered why that is? You're trying to get, in, let's say, whatever conversation you're at, you're trying to get to their ultimate, their hope. Their hope. Where you're trying to get to. And by asking those open-ended questions, you can get there. You know, they're talking about why that bothers them. So do you believe in a right? You believe that there is a right and wrong? Well, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Well, do you think Jesus got it right? about that? Do you think Jesus got it right when he said there's no one good but God alone? Do you think Jesus got that right? Only God is good, everybody else is not so much. You know, it's a way to bring up Jesus without saying, well, Jesus said, you know. What do you think about what Jesus said? Do you think Jesus got it right? Have you ever heard that Jesus said, you know, that kind of thing? Using these open-ended questions will really help engender that conversation. And once you've got them to open up and emotionally engage with you, then you can direct the conversation into spiritual things. Guys, let me be clear here. Not every question, every conversation is going to be like your opportunity to share the gospel. Okay? Most of the time, there's just like, hey, where is the bathroom? You ever wondered why people have to go to the bathroom? Ooh. You know, of all the things that God could have done to make people, you believe that God made people? No, just tell them where the bathroom is. You know, not every question is going to be ripe for the gospel, but there will be those times. And if you are alert, and if you're ready, if you're listening, if you got spiritual things on your mind, you will know when that is. Because they happen all the time. Okay. They're opening up. They're engaging with you emotionally. They're sharing your health, hopes, and hurts. And this is where you want to play the spiritual transition card. Have you guys ever played that game, Once Upon a Time? It's a great game. This is a game that helps you do the very thing I'm talking about. I'm going to start stocking them in the store because this is gospel training. What this game does is somebody starts sharing a story. And you are listening closely to what they're saying. And if they start saying, well, then the man went down by the river, and you have a river card, and you can then lay that card down, and you take over the story. And at the river, he saw an elf playing in the water. And basically the game is you're trying to take over the conversation, to lead it in such a way that you can play all your cards and you win. Okay? 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 So in this conversation, you're looking for those opportunities to play your transition card. Transition that conversation into the weather to the Savior. Okay? So you'll want to get that game. I'll even give you a discount. So that's a great game, guys. So how do you do that? How can you play that card? Well, let me give you a few examples just to prime the pump. So yesterday, it started actually a couple days before that when our next door neighbor stopped me as I was in my big hurry to get somewhere fast. He stopped me to remind me that he had offered to give us a jacuzzi that we could either use for ourselves or sell. And I summarily forgot about that. He reminded me. And I said, I will be there on Saturday. So I'm preparing this message when all of a sudden the Lord says, bother me. I am working on a message. What? You told Gene you were going to. I thought, you know something? I really should practice what I preach around here. So I went over there to see if he would be around. He was. He was there. We engaged. He saw this. I saw the jacuzzi. And I said, hey, I can just take this off your hands right now. So I go back to get Isaac and I grab a personal testimony track. Okay? This is a great tool. Great tool. It is in your handy dandy emergency gospel packet. That's those things that had that cross diagram. You'll see my personal testimony track. Let that inspire you to make your own. My wife can help you with that. I was going to say I can help you with that, but my wife can help you with that. Okay? So I grab my personal testimony track. And we go over there and we grab the tub, and I just we left the garage. I just put it down, and I start talking with him, rather than just that, there's my back, No, I put it down and I begin to talk with him, and I ask him, "How are you doing?" I know, right? Was that creative or what? Where did I come up with that one? How are you doing? And he tells me, "I've been doing all right. I've been doing anything." "You have many people visit you?" "I have one of my sons visit, but the other the son that's running the farm, he doesn't visit." I heard. But I heard farm. The hurt relates to the farm. He used to be a farmer. "You used to be a farmer, didn't you?" "Yes, I did. I was a farmer." "What did you do?" And he's like, talked about, we connected on that level of the farm. And so we're talking about farming. We're talking about his son who never comes because he's so busy with the farm. Guess what kind of farming they do, Bob? Just guess. He's so busy he can't. Yeah, it's dairy. It's dairy, of course. He cannot get away because dairy farm. Dairy farm. Yeah, we talked about milk cans back in the old days. And so I was just like, I wrote this little story. I called it a story. This story about why I went into the ministry instead of farming. I'd like to give that to you. He goes, I'll definitely read this. Sticks it in his front pocket. But that was the opportunity. It was farming, and farming or not farming. I have a track that starts with me talking about farming and why I went into the Christian ministry instead. Jesus had something to do with that, just to let you guys know. And now it's in his hand. And he's got my personal testimony track. And we'll see if God uses that then to prime the pump for more conversations in the future. He's an elderly man. He doesn't have many days left. Guys, personal testimony tracks in general are great tools. Use them. Whether it's a personal testimony track, a gospel track, you have a couple in your handy dandy emergency gospel packet. You have a couple of gospel tracks, a generic one, the one that we create, the Do You Know For Certain track. Yeah, you can feel free to leave them stashed in the bathroom. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that, but just use them. Just sitting in your house collecting dust, that's not loving. Get them out there. So that was one example. Another one is over the past couple of weeks, I've been talking to Jimbo. Jimbo owns the bowling alley. I've been doing bowling for a good 5 to 7 years now. Why spiritual things came up now? I'll tell you why. So I went to the bowling meeting at the beginning of this fall, and after the bowling meeting, I stayed around. We threw a couple of games of bowling. And so most people were gone, but Jimbo was there, and I was over there, just kind of over there for a friendly connection. Said hi, he said hi. He brought up spiritual things. That is the best way to get into a spiritual topic, guys, is when they bring it up. God forbid that somebody else brings up a spiritual topic and we bring it back to earth. And we play the, I'm scared to talk about spiritual things. I'm going to play this transition card to get us back into something about the weather. Don't do it, guys. I've even done that before and later just kicked myself. Why didn't I let the spiritual conversation stay there? Fear, spiritual battle, call it what you may. It's a world of regret. If somebody brings up spiritual topics, let it stay there. Saying out loud. I'm talking to myself right there. He brings up, so how's your church doing? Well, I'm honest about how our church is doing. And then he said, I got some rough news from the doctor. The first time I've ever been told this, he said, I'm like a walking heart attack. Three H's, health. Yeah. I'm realizing this guy is hurting. This guy's hurting. This guy's worried. And we begin to have a very engaging conversation, and he begins to go off on a menagerie of philosophical ideas. Let me just tell you this. When he first came to Decorah, he had a very long ponytail. Kind of tells you a little bit about the culture that he's from. Yeah, he's done things. So he's got this weird web of ideas, and this is where you're thinking, I need to find the exit. You know, this is over my head. I'm trying to engage him on the levels that he's talking, but he's more interested in hearing himself talk than me talk. Have you been in those types of conversations? Okay, so what do you do? Well, I'm just glad that's over. No, we got interrupted. It got ended. But I knew that his pain, his health issues have not ended. He's still wrestling over spiritual things. He is ripe. So I got him a book. And this is where you know, you need to know your media here. You need to know your media. Books, movies, music can be fantastic resources for sharing the gospel, or at least priming the pump and getting it moving. Okay? And so I knew that there's a book written by a former Chicago Tribune journalist, Lee Strobel, called The Case for Faith. And so I went to the internet and I ordered a couple. Ooh, it's only one guy. Well, this is why, too, because when I gave it to him, I said, I got one for myself as well. We can read it and talk about it together. So when I gave it to him after our first night of bowling, there was two things that happened. One, he really liked the cover because the bridge went into the unknown. And he's really big into how we just can't know what's out there. No one can. So how he knows that no one can know, I don't know. I don't think he thought that one too. But he liked the cover, and he began to talk a little bit more about his faith journey and struggle, and we're going to talk about it as we go through the book together. I also bring this one up here because one of my friends in Ames, Michael Riley, was a hardcore, angry, ornery atheist. Have you ever run into those guys? Oh my goodness. You can't get anywhere with these people because they are so convinced that God doesn't exist and there's no way you can tell them otherwise. This guy was like that until he read that book that was up before. More Than a Carpenter by Josh McDowell. It's not profound, it's not deep, but really it got him thinking. And he thought, well, he told me this later, he says, well, I thought maybe there is a God and that's all God needed. And so once he got to that, he started going to a discussion group, and from the discussion group, he got saved. So know your media, guys. Know the different books that are out there, magazines, movies, the material that can help a person. Like a lot of the good Christian movies right now, somebody's having a struggle in their marriage or something like that, you can get them the movie Fireproof. I've done that. And stuff like that can really help getting a person talking about spiritual things. We're looking into Jesus as a possible solution to their problem with health, hope, or hurt. I'm just going to give you a few one-liners here, guys. We're going into home plate here. We're on third base. We're about done. Here's a couple one-liners. Your thoughts are very interesting. Tell me, do you have an interest in spiritual things? Boy, you could use that with almost anything. Your thoughts are very interesting. You're not saying whether you agree or whether they're right. You're just saying they're interesting. Tell me, do you have an interest in spiritual things? How about this one? Would you mind if I ask you a personal question? Oh, people love that. It's just so flattering. Man, you want to ask me a personal question? Yeah. You know, most people say yes. Would you mind if I ask you a personal question? They will say yes. Do you have an interest in spiritual things? I don't care what you've been talking about. You could be talking about water. You ask them for their permission. And it's a great tool. You can even follow that up with, let's say they go, oh, no. No, not at all. It's not worth my time. Then you can ask, have you ever had an interest in spiritual things? The reason that's key is because everybody at some point in their life has had the thought while lying outside in the sleeping bag or in the dark of night on their bed, they have looked up into the heavens and have wondered if there's a God. It is a universal human experience. They've wondered, is there something more? Is there something more? Is there a God? Is there a heaven? What's it like? Have you ever had an interest in spiritual things? So if they say no, you can follow up with that one, and then you're off to the races. Has the thought of death or dying ever bothered you? One of the guys that goes to the Teen Territory Church in Cresco said that he got saved because he was bothered by his mortality. He was afraid of dying. If anybody's gone through a near-death situation, they're afraid of dying. How about, did you grow up going to church? Not as common these days, but you can still ask the question. Did you go to church growing up? Are you currently going to a local church? When you start bringing up the idea of church, guys, you can always pull out your Lifehouse invite card, which is in your emergency gospel packet. You pull out your little invite card, and you give them a little card, invite them to church. Okay? You might want to check ours out. It's a little different. There's plenty of room. You know? Yeah. Invite them to church. Always be inviting people to church. It's usually a very non-offensive invitation. Okay? Have you found a church that you've liked? No, whatever. Invite them. Do you consider yourself to be a Christian? I ask that a lot when people begin to talk about Christian things. I'm not going to assume, well, this guy's, you know, saved to the bone. No, I say, do you consider yourself to be a Christian? And then we're interacting on that level. The question's really good with somebody from overseas. Do you consider yourself to be a Christian? Or are you familiar with Christianity? Boom, you're talking about spiritual things. There's in your handy-dandy emergency gospel packet is a little survey, a spiritual interest survey. And if you see this survey, you're thinking, I will never in all my days ever use that. Thank you, Jay. He's telling me that it's time to stop. Yes, there is. If you live in an apartment, if you live in a neighborhood, if you live in a city, if you just live somewhere, you have an opportunity to use this because you can take this and say, hey, I'm taking an informal spiritual interest survey of people in our apartment, our building, our block. Would you have a minute for five quick questions? Would you have a minute for five quick questions? Boom, you ask. You're in. Okay? And so in all this, you're talking about spiritual things. You want to get to the gospel. Hey, I'm skipping some things. If you've got some time to talk, I would be glad to share with you what I've discovered the Bible to say about how you can have eternal life, how you can have peace with God, how you can know God personally, how you can get to heaven when you die, whatever. If you have some time, I would be glad to talk with you about what the Bible says about how you can have eternal life. If they agree to such things, then you can. Persistent guy he is. Then you can bring out one of those gospel tracts, the Do You Know For Certain track, and just walk it through with them. I realize I have gone over time, but I did want to mention, without much commentary, the five times that every person has to share the gospel every year. You have five. They're given to you. There are five times are in the calendar for you to be able to share the gospel. They're called holidays. Okay? Easter. If you can't figure that one out, don't know what to say. We have the 4th of July. The 4th of July is also a great holiday to share. Why? It's right there. There's how. Halloween is coming up. I love sharing the gospel on Halloween because it sticks it to the devil. You know, it's a holiday that has a fascination with evil and witches and demons and whatnot. And so to be able to use it to say, hey, Jesus conquered Satan, you know, Jesus wins in the end. You know, and I've made tracks, and in there is a generic or a personally made track for Halloween. And I hand it to people when they come to my door for candy, or when we're out and about, we hand it to people. Okay? Thanksgiving, giving thanks is a uniquely Christian idea to give thanks to whom? To the ground? It's not a sentient being. It can't appreciate you giving thanks. No, you're giving thanks to God. He is the one that is aware and is alive. And of course, Christmas. Five times, never let a season go to waste. They were made for the gospel. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this opportunity to talk about our hearts and our methods in talking to people about spiritual things. People need the Lord. 151,600 people will die today, many of which will go into a Christless eternity. Lord, if there's any way we could see a few saved, if there's a way that we could rescue even one from such a terrible destiny, then I pray you would give us the courage and you would give us the means. In Jesus' name.